And we're back, Stripe Show podcast on a Monday, Masters Monday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Hope you had a good weekend. I had a good weekend, another week, another cash ticket. Corey Connors gets to the finish line for us, 21-1. That's back-to-back. Pick Sam Burns in the match play, and now we come back in Connors. Horses for Courses gets his second win at the Valero Texas Open. So much to talk about. To talk about the Texas Open, Corey Connors, Patrick Rogers couldn't get it done again. The women's amateur at Augusta National, LIV Golf was playing in Orlando, and all this bubbles up to a little tournament that we call the Masters at Augusta National. A guy that's played it 10 times joins me from Dallas, six-time winner on the PGA Tour, Hunter Mayhem. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
God, there's so much golf to talk about right now. I mean, professional golf is fragmented. It's hard to keep it all together. But when you have a podcast, it's just rich in storylines. And I got to tell you, Brooks Koepka winning and looking the way he did, I think is great as he heads into the Masters. And of course, all of these LIV guys now showing up at Augusta National tomorrow night. That dinner's party, Hunter, is going to be, God, I wish. I mean, I'd give all this up to be there for that dinner just to fly on the wall, wouldn't you?
It would be the most interesting dinner in the history of mankind, for sure. I mean, it's at Augusta National with so much being said about so many of the players. And that I've said before that the part I didn't see coming from LIV Golf coming into existence was the fractioning of friendships and the way it's sort of torn apart a lot of friendships and people that we know. So that's the part I didn't realize that would come about of this. You know, and specifically like all the people I feel like Phil knew, you know, he was very close to Freddie, and so many people that have been so against it, and he's sort of been ostracized. Like Phil specifically, it feels like has been more ostracized than a lot of the other guys. A lot of the guys aren't really complaining about those sort of feelings and coming from other guys. But this is, I mean, this is, you know, Faldo's been very vocal about it. Yep. I'm sure he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the older generation guys are not real thrilled. And so it would be a very, very interesting, a lot of conversations. I think most guys are going to be professional because it is Augusta and they're not going to create any sort of, they don't want to create any sort of media storm before an event, because I'm sure people are going to be digging to see what was going on that night.
Well, apparently Gary Player didn't get that memo. He's had no problem ruffling the waters a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
Augusta National with some of his comments, but you're right. I mean, you know, Freddie Couples has been open. And so has Nick Faldo and others. So I'm sure there's going to be some side conversations, you know, some real conversations that are going to happen there. I'm sure cooler heads will prevail. You know, one of the guys that I know you're friends with that has, I think, handled this really well. I've had a lot of respect for DJ. You know, he went and did his thing. You know, I think Bubba Watson, who you know well and friends with, has handled it in a really good way. He's leaned in to LIV. He said, this is what I'm doing. And he kind of makes it sound like that as he was doing his press conference in Orlando, that the media is building this up more than it really is between the players. But then you got Joaquin Niemann saying, oh wow, there's some friction and it's going to be interesting to see. And he's motivated because of this and leaning in. I can't imagine that every single player is just like cool with it. You know, like there's going to be some friction there. There's going to be some cold shoulders there, like we saw with Rory and Patrick Reed. There's been some lawsuits. I mean, come on. I mean, it's not going to be just absolute perfect waters here. There's going to be some rough waters, and I'm sure a few comments said from time to time. Don't you think?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of branches on this tree, right? When you talk about Ryder Cup, you know, implications for a lot of these guys. And so the European guys are very much, it feels like, continuing their goal of playing on the European Tour and getting back in the Ryder Cups. There's just a lot to this. And some guys like DJ's like, he just cut ties and said, I'm going to be a live golfer, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm in the majors for the next X amount of years, and this is just my path. And Bubba kind of the same way. Like, you know, for some players like Charles and Bubba, when you're in your 40s, Bubba's in Augusta, you know, for the next however many years. This was an easy transition for them to just do this and kind of cash in on your brand and get your money and then kind of get out. You know, a lot of these guys kind of don't want to really play 20 plus events to sort of keep their card when there's another alternative. And a lot of the guys just did that. And I think a lot of guys like that from DJ, and there's a lot of fighters in there on the live side. And those are the guys that, like, I think Norman kind of leans into and wants those guys to push and push and create that animosity. Because I think animosity is interest, and interest hopefully for them is creating ratings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be huge ratings. I mean, I just can't imagine. Well, I mean, let's put it this way. I can't think of another tournament that I am more excited to watch than this one, because you got obviously Tiger. He's on site. He looked good. I saw a couple swings. He looks healthy. That's huge. You've got Rory going for the career Grand Slam. You've got Scotty Scheffler, the defending champion, playing great golf. John Rahm's playing great golf. JT, you know, will be heard from. I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of big names on the PGA Tour that are bubbling up. And then you come over here to live golf, and you have all that contingency, and it's the first time they've been together, and now Brooks wins, and we know Brooks can come in and stir some things up. DJ looked good. Cam Smith finally put some birdies together. Patrick Reed. So all these guys coming together, speaking off feeding off animosity, Patrick Reed pretty much does that. He likes conflict and he thrives in it. You've been on his team, President's Cups, Ryder Cups. You've seen it firsthand. Give my audience firsthand Patrick Reed as that guy, right? Because, you know, we see a lot of the things that have happened and all this smoke and allegations and all this, but Patrick Reed in the locker room, what's it like?
Yeah, he's, you know, he went through this process when he first came on the tour, right? This kind of, his path was aggressive, in your face, bold. I think when he went to Rao, he was talking about being the best player in the world. And you know, that's
top five.
Right, top five. And it was like everyone's like just trying to remember who he was and we're gonna put a face to the name. And he was already putting it out there. And he's brash and he likes it and he can take it. And not a lot of people can. Not a lot of people can put it out there and back it up and actually sort of revel in that, you know, revel in stirring the pot like he does, which is great. I mean, that's kind of his thing. And then being on his team, I think a lot of the guys when he first made kind of the Ryder Cup team and everything was like, you know, I think we appreciated his work ethic and his game and what he puts into it, because he puts a lot into it. Yeah. And you got to respect the time and effort that he puts into it, because he is a true grinder in every sense of the word when it comes to being a great golfer. He wants to be the very, very best. And, you know, I think that's why he won Augusta, is that nobody wanted him to win. And I think he completely thrives off of those things. And so I think going to live, like I've said before, could spark him to actually play some of his best golf, because nobody really wants them to like win a major, you know, that could take, you know, that's going to add to the live golf headlines. And I think people, definitely the PGA Tour and others, would rather them not win and kind of just be in the backdrop. But, you know, I would actually, and I would, you could put Brooks in that conversation as well. Guys who kind of like the smoke and like the heat, but he kind of went playing, going back to that. He was kind of playing, and I think he did. And you see it from a lot of the older videos and interviews on the President's Cup. Guys really wrapped their arms around him. And he kind of fell into it. And he really, I think, enjoyed it and felt like, hey, I could play professional golf, beat these guys, and not have to create this animosity and just enjoy kind of these relationships. And then I don't think he was really playing that well. And I felt like something could have happened, or he just was like, you know, I need to get back to being – kind of a little bit angry out there. And and then he kind of felt like he kind of fell back into that, into where he didn't really seem to have many friendships or relationships out there. You know, they kind of dissolved. And there was a lot of guys on those teams that were trying to bring him in, you know, come into the huddle. You don't have to be an individual this week. We want you to succeed this week. We want to play with you. We know what you're capable of. So it does feel like he's gone back to those beginning years, and he's playing with a lot of veracity, and he's playing with a lot of, a lot of chips on his shoulder. He's got a whole Lays bag there, and he wants to win. I guarantee you there's plenty of those live guys that would love to sort of go into a major and lift that trophy. And Norman would love it as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, Norman said that they'll all be down there. Every one of them, what is there, 17, 18 of them playing?
Yeah, I saw that. I was just reading that. And I was like, it's just really trying to rub it in their face, especially Augusta. I think Norman this week, I don't know if he's going to be on site, but I think he definitely wants to be.
The most drama that you could ask for come Sunday night would be Patrick Reed winning the Masters. That's the most drama you could have right there. If he had to put on the green jacket for a second time, he won at course back in 2018, Scottie Scheffler, the defending champion. So interesting about Reed too, what you say about you guys wrapped your arms around him and he seemed to maybe, I don't know, probably wouldn't admit this, but maybe a feeling a sense of acceptance, right?
Yeah.
And that had to feel good, but then he kind of sounds like has pushed away. But now he's back to being on a team again, the four aces, right?
And yeah,
with DJ and Peter Uihlein, and I think Pat Perez, my God, I can't believe I knew the names of those four. Of course, they're the best team that they have on LIV. But nonetheless, you make comment about Brooks too, who I think thrives on it also.
Yeah.
And, his episode on Full Swing, the Netflix document. I was texting with his coach this morning, Claude Harmon III, who I know well, and they got started again last summer. They're a good match. They really are. Claude knows Brooks's game extremely well. And he Claude helped Brooks get to the PGA Tour from where he was. They had a lot of success, of course, won four majors. Brooks decided to go on his own. That didn't go very well. The injuries certainly plagued into that, and then rehired Claude, and they had to untangle some things. A lot of it's setup related, some backswing stuff where he could just get back to hitting that little power fade. And I watched it, and it looked like Brooks of the old. It did. It looked like this power fade off the tee. He can draw it with his irons, and it was good. And he looked confident with his irons or with his putter as well. So him coming into Augusta, you look at his record, Koepka, not great the last 2 years, but injury related, missed the cut twice, 2022 and 2021, but he was T7 in 2021 and T19 and T2. So let it be known, I've already sprinkled some win money on Brooks Koepka, in addition to Rory McIlroy to complete the Grand Slam. Because I think Rory, Hunter, and I'm going to ask you this, then I want to switch here and I want to talk about the Valero Texas Open. Because I got some comments there and about Corey Connors, and I want to ask you about Patrick Rogers as well. But Rory has taken on so much off the course, right? And has kind of become, all intents and purposes, the A face, the biggest face on the PGA Tour with Tiger, off in the backdrop, only playing the major championships and maybe another one here or there. But I think Rory's embraced it. I think he's got to be a little fatigued at times, and I think a little quick to the punch more so than we've seen with Rory. But he's embraced it, and I do think he's kind of elevated, right? He's played some pretty decent golf as well. And with Rory, as it's kind of like if his putter goes, then Rory can go, right? And if his putter gets a little chilly, then, he kind of hangs out, T20 or T15. He's that good. He didn't have to putt well to get into the top 20. But outside of Reed winning, as for drama, I think the best feel-good story would be Rory winning, wouldn't it, to complete the career Grand Slam?
It would be the most poetic, for sure, after everything that's happened the last year and what you've talked about Rory really taking on the PR side for the PGA Tour and mm-hmm. being their most vocal champion. And attacking, I don't say, but defending the PGA Tour, he's been front and center every single week. And yep. like you said, I think he's done his service, and I think he should step out of that ring, and the PGA Tour should step in that ring. And they need to have somebody, you know, I know they hired, I think they had Jason Gore. I think Jason Gore should be there every week.
I agree.
Taking those questions. Rory doesn't need to be taking those questions. He should have started the season and said, guys, I've done my job. I have fought for you. I have, you know, we with him and the other players and Tiger coming in, we have sort of reset what we feel like the PGA Tour is going to be going forward. Mm-hmm. But I'm done. I'm going to go play golf now. And then, you know, that's because that's my job. My job isn't to be your PR team. So I agree with you. I think he should step down from that. And I think he sort of talked about that. It seemed like at the was it match play or somewhere where he's like, you know, I need to just focus on golf now because he has taken way, way too much on his shoulders. And so I hopefully he's done that. I hope he's done that because I think he's done far more for the tour than I think anyone really, any player should. The tour should have a whole team to handle these things and to step out every week and say, hey, this is our plan moving forward. The players, they don't need to talk to you about this because they have to go play golf and they have to, you know, they have to be the engine of the PGA Tour and continue to promote it by showing you where the best golfers play. So I hope, you know, I hope Rory can come in here rested, fully revved up, ready to go. I'm sure he is. It's going to be Augusta week. He knows the course, so he doesn't need any real prep. He just needs to feel, he just needs to be rested and you know, find that stroke and find that feel around the greens.
I agree. I think he's taken on too much. Probably initially he was like, yeah, I'm comfortable with it. But then after a while, it's like, come on, I gotta play golf. That's what I do.
Well, it was every week. It was every week. Yeah. There was something and he was the guy. And I was just so confused on where the tour was. I was like, where is the representative? Where is, you know, they've got plenty of people to go up there and I've always been confused on why the tour keeps engaging with these live questions. Cause they could just, it's an easy, hey, I play on the PGA Tour. I don't play on live. We're very happy. And the new structure and the new plan we have going forward is very, very exciting. So I just don't know why they keep even taking questions on it.
I'm going to come back to Augusta here in a second. I've got some questions about the course. You played it 10 times. You had made the cut 7, 3 top 10s, had a T8 back in 2010. We're going to come back to the course. It's going to be wet. Some specific questions there, but let's transition over to the Valero Texas Open for a second. Down in San Antonio, not far from you. You guys make courses look way too easy, man. I got to tell you, like I played that course one time, the Oaks course years ago, and the wind was blowing 30. And I swear to God, I promised to myself when I walked up that course, I'd never play golf again. Like I just got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. It's a good one. It actually is a really good course.
It's not easy.
The greens are kind of, they've toned them down over the years, but they're pretty wild.
They are wild. And there's no room off the tee. I mean, there's the first cut a little, but then after that, it's like, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like on virtually every hole and that wind gets whipping, man. It's brutal. Anyway, Corey wins it. Horses for courses. It's a real thing. And I mean, for you, you know, some of your favorite courses over the years, like you just feel comfortable. Like Corey just shows up there. He won it back in 2019. He was the last Monday qualifier to get in and win a golf tournament. He goes back there and he wins again, right? It's a real thing for you guys. You get out there, just good vibes, right? When you get out, sight lines off the tee. Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think you just have a general, you know, you have success at a place and then you get to go back to it again. I had this kind of at Travelers Championship. Won there in 07, and then just had a great run there where I felt like I finished top three for about 4 or 5 years in a row and was always in contention. Once you start having a little bit of success, your brain immediately goes to, this is what I did when I won, or this is when I played well, or everything just seems to fit, right? Like you don't have to, you're never really in between clubs. It feels like you kind of know where to go. The shot, your misses always seem to end up in the right spot for the easy up and downs. It just kind of plays your strengths in those ways. And obviously he's played winning an event twice. I mean, he's a great, great ball striker and that golf course is all about ball striking. Maybe some of the smallest greens on tour. So, his ability to kind of be able to attack, from the second shot. Cause it's there's danger, but the fairways are pretty wide there, you know, by tour standards. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just, he can clearly just see what he has to do, never puts himself in trouble. And when you get on the right levels there and the right situations on a lot of those greens, you can be really aggressive. Those greens don't really get that fast. So You don't have to be a great putter to win there. You got to be able to put yourself in position there enough times.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And that's obviously one of the things you look at is, you know, Corey's not a great putter. He's bottom third on the PGA Tour. But he's one of the best ball strikers in the world. I mean, he was positive 9.6 strokes gained approach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a huge number.
The greens are so crazy there.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to make a lot of putts, right? You're not going to have a week where you make all these putts that go dipping and diving. You got to be able to good enough with your ball striking to give yourself a lot of opportunities. And if you play well in the par fives, you can make a lot of birdies pretty easily.
Yeah. He was positive 3.9 off the tee. And he was actually slightly positive with the chipping and putting. Now, let me transition to this. Now, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but
yeah,
man, when I watch Corey Connors hit that little low to medium chip shot, I damn near have to close my eyes because I'm telling you, Hunter, it is borderline yips. Like it looks like the yips, and I know. Some people in that are good friends with Connors camp, and I've talked to some people, and they've seen it, and they kind of strategize away from it, you know.
Oh yeah,
these certain shots, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And the one thing about you have to understand about the yips, it doesn't show up every time, right? Like you just sometimes it's like, and then the next time it's, and so I've just seen a couple times where it's like, whoa. So I worry about that because you know Corey. Not taking anything away from his win. I mean, he's just the dude is an absolute ball striking genius. And he's so good that when he gets, if he can get anything at all from his wedge game around, or just little chip shots around the green, I'm not talking about like the 50, 60, 70, you know, like approaches. I'm talking about like the little vanilla ones, you know, just a little low bump and runs, maybe tight lie, that kind of stuff. You know, if he can get anything out of that and make a few putts, I mean, he can win elsewhere outside of TPC San Antonio. So it's just something to look at. I just I hope that that he can work through it. But usually in those situations, man, you usually have to blow it up, you know, and just kind of do something completely different, which is left hand low, like we saw Kisner. He's been chipping left hand low. I see. I'm drawing a blank. There's another guy that's doing it left-hand low. You know, usually you got to blow it up and kind of just start over again mentally, you know, on those shots that were starting to show up. Just something to look at, but he wins it. Let's transition to Patrick Rogers for a second. Rogers, that'd have been something if he would have won. Another Stanford grad, Rose Zhang, won the Augusta National Women's Amateur on earlier. And man, that girl, let's talk about her for a second before we get to the other Stanford grad. That girl is something. I mean, my goodness, 19 years of age. How about this resume? 19 years of age, Hunter, 2020 U.S. Women's Amateur Champ, 2022 NCAA Division I Champ, 2023 Augusta National Women's Amateur Champ. Oh my God. She wins in a playoff over Jenny Bay. I mean, she's won it all. She's 19 years of age. I mean, this is a big, big thing for women's golf. She turns pro. It's going to be huge for the LPGA Tour to have an American excellent player, and I think could be potentially dominant. I mean, she's just that good.
I saw her. I think I saw one of her interviews, and she was talking about her sort of the knowledge of her own swing and how she uses TrackMan a lot, which I feel like is so dominant amongst all basically tour players and aspiring tour players from college to even high school. Everyone's using TrackMan and all that information and all that data and stuff. And so she was really, I thought it was so neat because she was really owning her swing and kind of really understood it and understand why it works and then why and probably where she gets into trouble. I think she talked about how she made adjustments going in the back nine that kind of helped her kind of, you know, stop the, you know, the bleeding and yeah, then, to you know,
extent,
and, yeah. And then, and come out on top. So that's great for her to kind of go through that experience of kind of having a big lead and sort of going, now what do I do? Right. Mm-hmm. When you get a big lead, it's really you're, it's like, you've almost accomplished what you're trying to do, but now you have to keep going and keep playing. And that time is weird. And so because when you're playing golf, you're trying to shoot a score. But when you, you know, when you're trying to win a tournament and you have such a big lead, it's, I think it's easy to kind of get lackadaisical and sort of just start counting down to the end. And that's when you can get in trouble. So those little hiccups and the time and the, her ability to kind of push through and kind of go back to what she knows with her swing and have that confidence to kind of push through and grind it out and figure out a way to win. And that's what she was there to do, is win, and not win by a lot, just win. And so impressive that she did that. Obviously she's a great, great player. And she got some more lessons this week that aren't, you know, that you can't find in a TrackMan, that you have to find competing and kind of losing it for a while and then figuring out, how do I get it back and how do I get a score out of this? And, you know, that's what she did, which is very, very, very cool to see. A player like that learning on the fly, and then come out on top like that. It's really neat. And yeah, it's good for players to see that and go like, you know what? I just have to keep grinding, even if I'm five or six shots, because you just don't know what's going to happen, right?
Right.
One or two bad swings, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of questioning everything. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think a lot of people learned a lot from that week. So women's golf is, seems like being a really cool place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, she's going to be fantastic. Jenny Bay, University of Georgia, and a nice push there to get into that playoff. She's going to be great. So yeah, it was cool to see. That's a great event. Then they roll into the drive, chip, and putt. So they just, you know, Masters, just, they got to figure it out, man. You just make great decisions and just put on a great show. And that was yet another one. Now over to the other Stanford grad, which is Patrick Rogers, who also won a lot of tournaments in college, but he can't win one as a pro. And in the betting world, we do on Tuesday, and we get all these handicappers. There might not be a guy more frustrating than Patrick Rogers. 66, 67, then he goes 71, 73. The dude is one of the nicest guys in the world. I was texting with his coach. I was like, God, I hope he gets this done. I am cheering for Patrick Rogers, and I don't even have a win ticket on him. That's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've got the other guy.
Love.
Yeah, like, I want him to win. You know, like, just go get them and win. Look, there's just, bottom line is, there's just some guys when you get to the pro level, right? And I know winning helps at every level, but it's different on the PGA Tour, right? You won six times. There's probably some other tournaments you felt like you let get away, but you've done it. You've won, and then you did it again, and then you did it again, and then you did it again. And it's different. There's just some guys who are, you know, obviously out there, they're great players. They wouldn't be out there. But when that moment hits to win, they become a little bit different, right? They just, all of a sudden, they get a little more passive. All of a sudden, they get a little tighter. All of a sudden, the backswing gets a little shorter. All of a sudden, there's a little more tension in the grip. And they just have a hard time in those moments situationally. Like I talk about, just situationally. And there's some guys that are like, let's go. I'm ready to win. Like Max Homa looks like he has it. You know,
exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, he just looks like he elevated. Obviously, Tiger had it. We know that. And so I think Sam Burns kind of has it a little. He's got a little dog in him, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I just want to look at Patrick, and I just want to be like, just shame, like, come on. I'm gonna let's get you. You know what I'm saying? Like something's gotta be different. Shake him and try to piss him off and be like, go out there and get it done, right?
Yeah.
And you said something before we came on, and you said something about the caddy, right? And where you think the caddy could help in moments like this to push a guy across the finish line who clearly struggles on Sundays.
Well, you know, we saw kind of last year with Will Zalatoris, right? He had a guy he had for a long time, kind of came from the mini tours and stuff, and he loved that guy. And he did not, the last thing he ever wanted to do was get rid of him. And he knew that, you know what, maybe I have to do this if I want to reach my potential. And he did. And I think he won the next week or 2 weeks later. Right. And so, you know, Cameron Young just got Paul Tesori. So, and I remember Sean O'Hare got Paul Tesori, and all of a sudden Sean O'Hare's game kind of took off. I got right. John Wood, you know, I got, and Paul helped, you know,
Webb.
And so I got John Wood, at the most perfect time of my career. We were going to, I had to go back to Q school, got John Wood. He didn't have a bag at the time. And we just, it was a perfect partnership. He knew kind of what, he was forceful enough, and then knew when to let me go. and trust my instincts at times, but he was forceful in telling me, this is what I think, this is where we got to go, this is where the shot needs to kind of be, and we kind of talk about it, and we had a great trust, and I can just go out there, focus on what I have to do, look at my target, and just swing. And so, you know, I played with Patrick a few times. Everything you've said is correct. He's a phenomenal human being. Talent is there. Incredible.
Golf strength. Beautiful. Golf is beautiful.
He can just do it, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Coaching him must be, I think it's a probably, you know, I don't know him enough to kind of dig into who Patrick Rodgers is, but his abilities are at a high, high level. Yep. I do think you just sort of, when you see a trend like that, you're going to have to clear stuff out of there and make the game real simple for him and give him simple fixes. You're going to have to figure out, you know, like, I didn't want a whole lot of swing thoughts, but I did need to have one. I needed to feel something, you know, like Justin Rose, when they were going to Foley, they had like three on the backswing and like four on the downswing. He needed a lot of thoughts because that calmed him down. So whatever Patrick needs to kind of feel comfortable out there on the weekends, they're gonna have to find that. He's gonna have to like figure out what, you know. I remember like my President's Cup, the first time I went there, I was like overwhelmed. It was really overwhelming. I'm with Steve Stricker and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and Jack Nicklaus just picked me to be a part of this event. I was looking around at everybody and everything thinking, what am I doing here? Like, these aren't my dreams. I'm not even living a dream. We've flew right past that. And I'm talking to these guys and we're in the same room. And I went, you know, my brain was wanting to prove to them and win every match by myself and win the whole thing on the first hole. And, you know, it was just a lot going on. And then I was really, truly felt like that helped me so much going into the Ryder Cups after that and the President's Cups after that, because I knew that I didn't have to do anything. I just needed to be present. And the hardest thing I was going to do was just be in the moment. And I had to work really, really hard at that and not try to win and just play golf and let the situation take over, because it's enough. I don't need to add to anything. I just need to be me and be enough. And, you know, I know that the few times going to Travelers on the last day, I felt like I was going to win. I felt like I was ready. I was ready for any challenge to come my way. You know, by three putting or hitting a bad shot, I just was ready to kind of just knock that out of the air and be like, I'm right back to what we got to do, because we're going to do this. And so I don't know Patrick. I can't speculate on what was going on or happening, but they need to find, I don't know. I'm not saying he needs to get rid of his caddy, but sometimes making moves like that have huge, huge benefits, because the player can love the caddy to death, but they're not actually the fit that Patrick actually needs. He might need something or somebody to say, I don't need any info from you today. I need you to play golf, because that's what you're great at. And we just need a little bit more of a focus on where we're going to go with our shot. We don't need to talk about it too much. I do feel like maybe you start talking about things and it just, you know, not helping the situation. It's right in front of you. This is what you got to do, and you can do it, and you have the game and you have the ability. And he totally does. Have to keep grinding at it, you know?
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. For sure he does. And I really thought in my mind, just what I thought Saturday, okay. You know, what did he end up shooting on Saturday? He shot 71. But he kind of just, you know, all right, he was there. You know, it could have maybe been a couple shots worse. His short game was solid, getting up and down. He's hitting that bullet fade off the tee. Like, I love his swing. I mean,
oh my God.
You can't.
Easy. It looks easy, right?
Oh my God. Like, there's nothing to technically even like pick at. I mean, it's correct. Like, my God, it's just beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
The little short game shots, kind of, you know, just turning left. Yeah. The left elbow fold, beautiful. It's just so good.
Yeah.
And then this Sunday, okay, silly bogey, another bogey, another bogey. You know, just like,
it's not tight, right? It's just kind of tight. Like when you
just passive.
It's like, it is hard to sometimes figure out who are you as a player. Like, what is your identity? You know, I played with Brent Snedeker in a team event, and we were just not a good pairing, because Brent is intense and he's expressive, and I'm not that way. I can't be that. If I go out there and try to be Brent Snedeker, it's a disaster. I need to be more subdued, take it easy. I can't celebrate like he does. You know, yeah. We're just very, very different people. And sometimes as a player, you're trying to find your identity in that final group. How do I play my best in these really big moments? And because it's not a question of if, it's just a question of how. How am I going to be my very, very best in the big moments? You know, and you see it from all different players and all different sports. There's a quietness that you can tell goes on in their face. You can see it. There's not much going on. They're completely calm. They're completely in it. And you can see a lot of players, like, there's not fear, but there's a lot going on. And there is, they see everything. The great ones, they don't see everything. They see exactly where they're going and how they're going to do it. And there's just an ease about them. And, you know, Corey probably feels that when he goes plays in San Antonio. There's an ease. There's not a lot in his head. He knows exactly what to do.
Yeah, he just put the foot down, played well on Sunday, making birdies down the stretch on the back nine. So, you know, Finau kind of, you could see that maturation, you know, and with him and situationally. And look, you got to put yourself in the situation. You're going to fail some. I get it. But then it becomes a recurrence. Okay, we got an issue here. Like, there's something, there's something wrong. I mean, there's something going on here on a Sunday internally that you're not putting your foot down the same way and hitting the shots the same way as you were on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And we need to dig that out a little bit where we can push that forward on Sunday. So hopefully they figured it out. I mean, Finau figured it out. David Duvall went through it, right? Remember, David Duvall couldn't close, and finally he did. And then, we know what David Duvall was doing, right?
You know, it was scary times.
Yeah, he just started whipping everybody after that and got to number one in the world in the era of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he could stand on the tee with Tiger and be that guy, right? And be 1B. No, there's no one, there's not many guys who could stood there and be like, yeah, he's just that good. And he could stand toe to toe with him and be that guy. So that was, you know, we almost forget that a little bit.
We do. Yeah, we do. How good he was. And we forget about that he had a hard time.
Yeah, it's so hard to, I mean, that's a big, you know, when you play college, right, in amateur events, there's no leaderboard. You don't have a lot of time. It's only, you know, two or three round tournaments and you play and like, oh, who won? Oh, I did. That's great. Awesome. Yeah. We won as a team. And it's not when everything is standing there and you're watching all these things going on. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of stuff happening. And you got to be, you know, you got to be the eye of that storm where everything's going around you, but you are, you know, you are controlling your environment.
All right, let's finish with this. Back to Augusta. It's going to be wet. Forecast doesn't look great. They added some length. 13 is going to play different.
Yeah.
Back there, probably depending upon how much they move it back, probably depends how much the ball is going to be rolling out. But it's, you know, Augusta's not short. And we know there's a lot of undulation.
Yeah.
We know the greens are crazy. And now it's wet. Now they have the sub-air system. They can pump some of it out. But, you know, the amount of rain that I think we're looking at getting here, it's going to play pretty soft. So when you take all that in, what kind of player comes to mind? It kind of feels like DJ, doesn't it? Back in when they played in the fall there, you know, that kind of situation, length off the tee, right? That ball staying in the air has got to, it's got to bode pretty well, doesn't it?
No doubt. There's going to be, my guy this week, I'm just going to throw out there is Xander Schauffele.
Xander.
He's a guy like, you know, we're like with, you know, the emergence of so many young guys, it's like, we forget how good he is. I've played with him in Charlotte a few years ago and you need someone to hit it really high out there long enough. Everyone seems to hit it long enough on tour nowadays. There's guys, not that they're all the same player, but they all seem to with the TrackMan and way the swing's being taught. Like, everyone's getting the most out of their driver and out of their irons and stuff like that. And Schauffele hits that high draw that just works into so many of those holes. He was close a few years ago. He was right there. I mean, the tournament was sort of almost in his hands. So I think he's due. He's good at everything. You know, I think when it's, like you said, with the sub-air system and the greens the way they are, it's hard to, it takes a few holes to figure out how the course is going to play. You know, the fairway is going to be wet, you know, it's going to be, but like how the green's going to react to these shots. Right. And when it does get wet, it does get a little, the ball doesn't seem to get as high off the fairways and stuff. It comes a little flatter. So, you know, how they dry the greens out and how guys are going to be able to kind of attack some of the pins and how everything goes is always, you know, always really interesting out there. And especially if you have, if you can't maybe reach some of the par fives and you're laying up and you can see a ton of balls spin with a, you know, off the greens and different situations like that. So that he's kind of my guy. I like, you know, Jason Day is playing great. He's kind of under the radar a little bit. So that's a guy to like, has tremendous odds, but I do like, I mean, you know, I hate to say that he's due, but Xander I just love his game. It just feels like when I think of Augusta and I think of the shots you're going to play, he doesn't have to try that hard. He doesn't have to do anything differently. It's just going to be pretty stock for him to kind of go out there and play really well.
You just like Xander because he won the Travelers.
Oh, he's good. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good player. He's a good dude.
Well, he's got no weakness, you know.
No, he's just, he's so solid.
His driver's been giving him a little fits in March, players and Arnold Palmer. But he had the lead, in 2021?
Yeah.
Late, and then he kind of stumbled, hitting the ball in the water on 16. Yeah. I think Xander has went through being more comfortable on Sunday too. I think he let some
Totally.
Get away, you know, and then he put it away at the Travelers. And then he goes and wins the Genesis Scottish Open, which was an incredible field.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a heck of insane field. It's like a WGC field. Incredible like everyone field. Was there, right?
Yeah. Put that one away.
Yeah.
Obviously the gold medal. So like he's more comfortable on a Sunday, and look, Xander winning a major championship, no one would be surprised because he's that good. I agree. He's certainly on my short list. All right, last question. Give us a shot or two that everybody's going to have to face at some point at Augusta that you think is the hardest shot. Like you have to point to that everyone's going to have to hit this shot, and it's just a tough shot. You just got to step up and hit it. Let me guess.
Let you guess? Okay.
Let me guess one. Sunday on 12, right? Like, that's just hard.
It's awkward. It's just so awkward because it's so far to the right. It's going away from you. You know where you can't miss it. It's just it's such a great left-hander shot, right? Because Phil, you know, he can roll it over there. And if he pulls it, it's going long. So it's not in the water. But if you're a righty and it's like, okay, if you're not a natural fader or whatever, right? It's so easy to kind of come up out of it. And that's why Tiger just doesn't even over the bunker, 2-putt, I'm getting out of there. Like that's kind of the old style is don't even mess with it. It's not worth your time. Because if you pull it and you go in the back bunker, it's a whole other set of problems. So it is a weird, you know, he'll probably hit a ton of shots on that hole just over and over and over again on 12, making sure that I have a plan for that.
Molinari. Hit it in the water there too.
Yeah.
Remember? Yep. Yep.
And that shot stinks. When you're standing there, you got to drop it. Now I'm like, how do I hit this shot where there's no green, there's no depth? Yep. I don't want to hit it short.
What about tee shot? What tee shots do you think are challenging out there when you got to step up and hit a good drive?
Well, you know, when the tree went down on 17, that was always an awkward shot, but it's, you know, there's no tree there anymore. It's just so straight, right? Like it's kind of taking the teeth out of that hole. 15 is always, you know, I think it sounds like 13 is going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Being further back. I can't tell if that's going to make it easier because there's less thinking and it's just sort of like, hey, we can't go through anymore. So we just, our line, our shot's going to be a little bit easier. I always just think that it always seems to come down to just playing, you know, 11 is the big boy shot. I mean, it's just hard hole.
You got to hit a good drive at 11, right? You have to hit a good drive at 11.
You can kind of, you know, 10, 11, 12 are kind of like the start of that back nine, right? It's obvious, but it's like, man, it's just those holes. You play them well, you get three birdie opportunities and you play at one under or something like that. You do feel like, okay, I just jumped up the leader. I just put the pressure on everyone else sort of behind me. But it always feels like, you know, I think the coolest shot is like that's second shot on 15, right? Like you're just sitting on top of that hill. hitting over now. If that shot plays, if it plays slow and that shot gets a lot longer, then that'll be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
That's because it goes, it's kind of a flat tee shot and then it goes down. But if you try to, press it and you hit it left, then all of a sudden you've got some decisions to make and you're going to have to figure out strategy wise, how am I going to play this? Do I really want to go for it? Because you fly, you hit it too far, hits the downslopes, then you go in the water. I think it's going to be interesting how long around the greens the grass will be.
Okay.
We're going to see a lot of balls skidding off. When it gets wet, you get a lot of skid.
Mm.
And so, it's always hard to kind of chip around there because you have a decision. Am I going to go high or am I going to go low and kind of watch the ball go into the grass? But when it gets a little bit longer, you see the ball, when you try to hit something low and dig into it, the grass is pretty thatchy. And so it'll grab it really fast. Mm. So it's, those in-betweeners there around the greens are always really, really interesting, I think, at Augusta.
Yeah, and you take the bounce out of that course and the spice and the, it playing hard and fast. It's not the same track, right? I mean, anything softer for you guys, are going to take advantage. And when you can play the number and the ball is going to kind of land at that number and settle down at that number, in your mind, it's more green light, isn't it, versus when the ball's bouncing more and there's a little more spice with the greens at Augusta?
Yeah, if you can, when I think of like all the ball stuff going around, trajectory, the way the guys can hit it straight up in the air, Tiger's biggest advantage when was on his game, nobody hit it like him, but nobody hit it as high as he did. Nobody could stand there with a 5 or 6 or, 4 3 irons, definitely not 3 irons, and hit it like straight up in the air. Like nobody could do that. And when you play at Augusta, hitting it that high and landing it coming down like that was just so massive and so beneficial. Nobody could do that. And everyone was, the ball would kind of, you come on flat with these little irons and then some of these greens and it just, you watch it bounce and skid and kind of roll over the green. And he's like, he's coming down like that. Now everyone could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scottie Scheffler's hitting it to the moon, Xander, all these guys hit it straight up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And these balls are so well made that there's not much difference between these guys. That's why, the scores have been so good the last, 5 to 10 years at Augusta, because everyone can hit it straight up in the air. And that advantage is sort of from Tiger's, like the blueprint is like, this is what you want to do with your mid to long irons now, is hit it straight up in the air.
Yeah.
And so the teeth of Augusta have been taken out a little bit, but like I said, the rain is really, that's really going to be interesting, because I think you're really going to see discrepancies in distance off the tee. Some guys are going to hit right into the hill. And some guys are going to hit it right over the hill and it's going to bounce and skid a little bit. So we're going to see a lot of that. That'll be really kind of interesting where they set the tees off. And then, I haven't seen the yardages in a long time, but there's always certain carry numbers out there that are huge that you're trying to carry it, usually with 290 to 300.
Mm.
And like 300 is kind of like when you see guys can carry that, they take a lot out of there. And I think we're going to see a lot of drivers next week off the tee, which would be great. Yeah. Guys are going to be real aggressive.
Well, that's why I got, Rory and Brooks right now as 1 and 1A for me. And maybe I need to add Xander Schauffele to the mix. All right. Good stuff, man. Love it. Unbelievable. Going to be a fun week, and you've got your pick. Xander's your guy. You got anybody else you want to?
No, I mean,
gotta wait till Wednesday night. Gotta see
how it transpires. I think Justin Rose is kind of, I would watch him. I think he's, he's one not too far away, but I saw was like 6,600 or whatever. I think he's a guy under the radar. That's when he could win, is when no one's really kind of talking about him. The pressure's off. He can kind of just go play. His skill set is always so high. If he can get comfortable with the putter, then it's kind of sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And for a lot of these guys too, right? It's just getting comfortable, put the putter in your hand. Like, when Brooks, watching that Netflix thing, right? Brooks was like, the putter was just horrendous.
Yep.
And his health was bad, but the putter, you could tell he's like, I didn't have the same feelings. If he's got the same feelings, there's no one he's scared of. No one he doesn't think he's better than.
Yeah, Rose, Justin Rose on the first, second page of the leaderboard seems to just always happen, doesn't it, at Augusta? Like,
yeah, he just loves it. I mean,
yeah, his name just always pops up.
He loves it. And it's just, he just has to like stop trying so hard.
Yeah, it's just his name. Oh, there's Justin Rose. And he's 500. Yeah. Of course he is. Of course he is. Of course Justin Rose 500 and T5 right now.
Yeah, I think he'll be a top 10 lock for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, he's he switched coach, went to Mark Blackburn, and they got a W. He looked good down the stretch. I was very interested to see, because it's been kind of a while, maybe. You know, he's the guy, two-shot lead, had to sleep on it, come back at Pebble, and he was like...
And that's it, right? That's the mark of a guy who...
I mean, he was
like... He really owns it. He owns what he's doing, and he is like, I have complete confidence in what I'm doing. There's no doubt.
He looked impressive. He really did. Hunter, thank you so much for joining us on the pod. Have a great week, man.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.